Let's get started. I wonder if you've ever had a hurtful word used against you. I know I have. Probably you have too. And I wonder if you've ever carried a hurtful word that's been used against you. It's a funny way to say it, to say carried. What do you mean you carried a hurtful word that was used against you? Well, I've been called a lot of hurtful things in my life, sometimes by bullies on a playground, sometimes by people who didn't like the way I was driving, sometimes by mean people on the internet. And most of the time when someone uses a hurtful word against me or against you, most of the time we let that word fade away. Most of the time we forget about it. Most of the time it doesn't affect us too much. Most of the time we let it go. But sometimes we carry it. We hold on to it. And that hurtful word that someone used against us continues to hurt us for days and weeks and months and years after the person said it. And I wonder if you've ever carried a hurtful word like that. I know I have. I've carried hurtful words so tightly and for so long that I've started to believe that they were true. I wonder if you've ever let a hurtful word that someone used against you change the way that you think about yourself. In the Toy Story movies, there's this theme of insecurity that Brian talked about last week. If you haven't seen the movies, that's okay. I think you'll know the feelings. In the first film, Woody experiences some gentle ribbing at the hands of Mr. Potato Head about how he's not as cool as Buzz Lightyear, and sure enough, Woody begins to believe it's true. In the second movie, Jesse experiences a heartache and becomes convinced that no one will ever love her again. Also in the second film, there's this character called the Prospector, and the Prospector tells Woody that there's no use in being a toy and being a child's plaything. The Prospector tells Woody that he's just a piece of plastic waiting to become trash, destined to spend eternity in a landfill, and it's just words. But it's words that cut deep, that tear away at Woody's sense of self-worth. They are words that leave him feeling small and worthless and insignificant, and they change the way he acts, and not for the better. What I want to do today is I want to convince you that you are worth more than what people say about you. You are worth more than probably what you think you are worth, because the God of the universe valued you enough to send Jesus to live and die for you so that in Christ we could have a forever friend. God did that for you because he made you and he knows you and he loves you and he says that you are worth it. Did you hear that? God did that for you because he made you and he knows all about you and he loves you and he said that you are worth it. There's something notable that happens in Acts chapter 11, and I want us to pause and notice it, and then I'll talk about what it means. In Acts chapter 11, for the first time, people who follow Jesus are called Christians. It hadn't happened in the Bible before Acts chapter 11 that the people who followed Jesus were called Christians. See, when Jesus was on the earth, there was no such thing known as a Christian. When he hung on the cross, there were no people called Christians to mourn him. When he rose from the grave, there were no people called Christians to celebrate him. At one point, before they were called Christians, the followers of Jesus are called followers of the way. And thank goodness the word Christian caught on, because there are so many old hymns that just don't work if you substitute follower of the way for Christian. Lord, I want to be a follower of the way in my heart. Doesn't flow real good. So in Acts 11, we start calling the followers of Jesus Christians. And besides the singability of classic hymns, there's another real important reason that I'd rather be a Christian than a follower of the way. In the Greek, The word Christ means God's anointed king. To be a Christian is to be one of the king's people. To be a Christian is to belong to the king. If being a follower of the way tells you who you are, being a Christian tells you whose you are. You belong to God, who takes you as you are, wherever you are, however you are, and calls it good enough. To be a Christian is to know and experience intimacy with Christ. It is to know Christ and to be known by Christ. To put it another way, you can follow a lot of people on Twitter, but just following them doesn't mean they're going to have any idea who you are. You might know Chris Hemsworth, the guy that plays Thor in those superhero movies. Well, he's got a diet plan that I follow, obviously. And here's the thing, you guys, believe it or not, he has no idea who I am, no matter how stringently I follow his plan. But Jesus knows who you are. He knows you completely with all of your imperfections, and he loves you all the more. When the ancient pharaohs of Egypt, way back in the day, would pass through the public square, there were strict laws about the behavior of the common folk who happened to be in his presence. When the Pharaoh came through the public square, the people were to drop to their knees. They were to place their foreheads on the ground. They were not to look at the Pharaoh. In fact, the Pharaoh had hired people whose job it was to police the behavior of the citizens, to threaten them with execution if they even looked at the Pharaoh when he walked by. And the Pharaohs were flawed earthly kings. You could obey them, but you could never know them, and they certainly would never know you. But Jesus, God's Son, sovereign King over heaven and earth, first and last of all creation, the very same who knitted you together in your mother's womb, he calls you his friend. He calls you into relationship with him. He says, "You are my son and you are my daughter," and that is all that matters. Now, have you thought at all about that hurtful word? I've been called useless, not good enough. It hurt. It still hurts. Sometimes in my darkest moments, these are things that I believe to be true about me. I carry those words like they're tattooed on my body, but I've got another word that I carry with me too, and so do you. It's the name Jesus written on your heart, because God wrote his name on your heart. In Toy Story 2, Woody realizes the most important thing is the name on his boot. The most important thing is whose he is, even more than who he is, even more than what other people think he is. So whose are you? You're a Christian. You belong to God. You are his son, his daughter, his BFF, his forever friend. That's whose you are. That's whose I am. And maybe you already knew that, but when you're fighting against hurtful words that won't go away, sometimes it's good to be reminded again and again. See, there's a common theme with the most hurtful words. The most hurtful words usually come from the people we care about the most. An insult from a friend or a mentor stings more than anyone else. The people we trust with our hearts have the greatest capacity to break them. It's because they're the people who know us the best. And when they hurt us, our tendency is to think they're right. After all, who knows us better than they do? I have an answer to that question. Jesus does. You can go ahead and ask your best friend how many hairs are on your head. I bet they don't know. I bet they're not even close. But God knows every single hair on your head, and he loves you anyway. And he doesn't give you a hurtful word to carry. He only gives you love and grace. If you've seen Toy Story 2, there's this thing that happens. Woody gets taken away by Al. And all of the other toys go on a dangerous mission to try to save Woody. It's scary. It's scary because it's possible, in fact, it seems likely at times, that their mission will get all of them lost. Seems possible and likely that all of them will get lost. And Andy will come home from camp, and it won't just be Woody, but it'll be all the other toys that are gone. In fact, you could make a case that they should have just let Woody go. It would have been sad and heartbreaking, but it would have been more sad and heartbreaking if all the toys went missing. But of course, they can't do that. For the same reason that God can't do that to you or me, for the same reason that the shepherd in that parable, faced with watching over 99 obedient sheep, will always choose to go after the one who got away. So don't let anyone tell you that you're small or worthless or insignificant or broken beyond repair, because the God of the universe would leave everything else behind to chase you to the ends of the earth and back. You mean that much to God. You always have. You always will. Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you for your unending love. We thank you and we praise you for a well of grace that never runs dry. Lord, give us a faith that will trust you above every other voice we've ever heard. Heal our wounds, seen and unseen. You made us once. Now remake the broken parts and fill them with your Spirit in the way that only you can. I pray this for all of us. In your name, amen.